now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Usually I talk to them a little bit, you know, especially if I don't know them. I met Bernard today, and so he's been sober for 42 years in one day. 42 years. He got sober on July 1st, 1972. I was 3 months old. So he has 42 years of sobriety. I turned 42 into this room. Who knew he was going to say that thing for me? So please help me welcome Bernard.
Thank you. I'm Bernard. I'm an alcoholic. And I do thank God for another sober day and another day of life. And I want to welcome all the newcomers and visitors. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Sure is a great place, ain't it? But you couldn't have told me that 42 years ago, and I do want to welcome the newcomers, man, really. For me, I used to be there at one time. I was very crazy at one time. I was totally insane when I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous. But anyway, I got here, and I'll talk a little bit about what I used to be like, what happened, and what I am like now. Actually, you know, my real name is, like Grass says over there, it's Flavio Bernardino Garcia Sandoval. That's my full name. I'm a Mexican descent. I'm an Albuquerque, New Mexican. I was brought up and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in an adobe house in the barrio. My father drank, my aunt drank. I got come from a long line of drunks, except on my mother's side. My mother never drank. She stayed with my dad for over 60 years of marriage, putting up with that drunk. But anyway, that's another story. Anyway, I came here. You know why I showed up and ended up here in Fresno, the land of the nuts and fruits. You know, I was married at the time. They ran me out of Albuquerque, New Mexico for too much drinking and resisting arrest and then abusing an officer. All those good things that us alcoholics do. You know, I always ran with a bunch of guys, you know, call them cholos, call them pachucos, and, you know, I was one of them. And I joined them a long time ago. They were my idols in the barrio. I drank, I smoked a little pot, never did any heroin, never did any hard drugs, but I loved alcohol. Alcohol was my thing. I loved it. I loved what it did to me. I loved it more than anything. It made me want to be anything I wanted to be. You know, I can pretend I was a lawyer, a doctor, you know, a white guy, you know. Hey, I'm a Mexican white guy, you know. I pass for a gringo any day, you know what I mean? You'll be surprised how that white skin will save you in a lot of tight spots, especially when you go to them honky-tonks back then, you know. We went to the honky-tonks to get the honky-tonk women, period, you know. And then them guys don't like it, man. Don't come to my territory. And the fight went on, and we drank, and we wrecked cars, and... You know, that's the way it was, you know, the life of an alcoholic. And I was very young when I started drinking, about, I'd say around 14, 15 years old, you know. Got stabbed at around 15, almost died, you know, after a big old fight. You know, I would fight all the time when we're drunk. Had a 50-50 chance of living or dying. That's where alcohol took me, to those unpredictable places. But I didn't know that. I never had much education, you know. I'm one of these guys that's dyslexic. Half the time I can't read what I'm looking at. You know, and it's another story there, you know, in this program. So I ended up getting married thinking that was going to do it for me. If I get married, you know, I'll cool down my troubles and then everything will be all right. But I didn't stop drinking, so I got into more trouble. And this is why I ended up here in Fresno, California in 1968. So anyway, I ended up there, and right away, man, I found out what Chinatown looked like. Oh, F Street down there was good back in the 60s, man. They had the Gato Negro down there, all the Mexican bars right there in Chinatown. Man, I thought I'd never left Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was so good down there. I found the friends, same friends I had over there in Albuquerque, those same old drunks. They were right there in Fresno. But anyway, you know, I started drinking there in Fresno and getting beat up and, you know, doing all those things us alcoholics do. So So one day, man, you know, I was there sitting there, and I got into some trouble, and the wife's mad at me, and everybody's mad at me, and this little ad came on TV, "Why don't you try Alcoholics Anonymous?" Shit, I ain't no alcoholic. I'm 22 years old, man. That's for them Skid Row winos. And I was above that. I ain't no Skid Row. Like, no hell, I'm 22 years old. But anyway, to simmer down the troubles at home, I figured I'd go there to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I walk in the door of Alcoholics Anonymous over there at the Alano Club in Fresno. Man, there wasn't nothing but damn old people. I said, man, these people need Alcoholics Anonymous. They're so goddamn old, they can't do anything else. You know? And I was 22 years old, man. I was pretty strong back then. You know, if you give me any lip, I was going to, you know, fight you to the death. And that's the way I was, you know. You got to kill me, man. I'm going to keep coming at you. So talk about being insane. You got to be totally nuts to think that way. And I was, like the book says. You know, there had to be something here to restore me back to sanity. Because I was pretty wild and pretty crazy when I got here. But you couldn't tell me that. You couldn't tell me the truth, what was wrong with me, man, because I was going to really knock you out. That's the way it was. That's the way I thought. I said, you might be a little bit smarter than me, but I know I can kick your ass, and that was my attitude. You know, either kick you or do something to you. You know, shoot you, cut you up, and that was my attitude. Man, what an attitude. And I want to survive in this society. I couldn't do it. I had to come to Alcoholics Anonymous and really find a good way to live here for 42 years, man. And I thought it was the end of the world when I got here. There goes all my fun. I can't go to bars and get drunk with those guys anymore. Man, I can't do this anymore because everybody drinks. Everywhere I go, everybody drinks. Especially my family and my friends. I told my family I was going to Alcoholics Anonymous. They laughed at me. All my homeboys back home. Man, you going, oh, guys over there, you got to be nuts. They let you in there? I said, yeah. But, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous will work for anybody. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. And it worked for me. The proof is here. Now I'm an old guy. I'm 65 years old. In March, I turned 65. And I thank God and I thank this program here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm totally grateful and thankful for all the things that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Especially the old-timers. And I'm dedicated to the old-timers, to the message that they gave me. That's why I'm here today. You know, one time I bought a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous at the Alano Club. This old bald-headed white guy comes up to me, you know, and he says, Bernard, you better read The Dark Print. You know, and for once in my life, I got honest with myself. I said, you know what, Jack, I can't even read The Dark Print. I can't read. He said, don't feel bad. You know, I couldn't read either when I got here. So that was my first friend in Alcoholics Anonymous. Call him a friend. Call him a sponsor. Call him whatever you want. It's okay for me. So I started talking with this guy. I must have had about 2-3 months sober in Alcoholics Anonymous because I really wanted to stay sober. And I ended up to that point where the compulsion left me after 45 days. I really wanted to drink real bad, man. And I know what it is to be addicted, especially with alcohol, something that you really love and you can't give up, you know. So anyway, I got hooked up with this guy. We started going to meetings. He started taking me to meetings and he would always point that finger at me. Bernard, just don't take the first drink. Don't take the first drink. He went on for 6 months. I said, Jack, you tell me, if you point that finger at me one more time, I said, I'm going to break it. I said, I know I'm not supposed to drink. I've been around here 6 months, long enough to know don't drink. But you know, there's more than just stop drinking here in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I have to find it out the hard way. I fought a lot of things here in Alcoholics. I guess I made it hard on myself, basically. You know, it was hard for me to surrender. And you surrender, you don't surrender out in the streets, man. You fight to the death. Surrender is like losing. You're a loser. And this guy told me, well, that's what we are. We're boozers and losers. If you're a boozer, you're a loser. And that's just the way it is. You know, what do you really have? What does an alcoholic that drinks really have?
either insanity or death. And that's what he talks about in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous and some of the literature in Alcoholics Anonymous. I could talk all day long of what's in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but in my living, that's the key. We got to live. I had to apply it to my life, you know, to the life that I'm living today. And it's a wonderful life. Man, it's so wonderful that I got a divorce about 20 years ago. I had to go through that. And the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, helped me with patience, tolerance, and love and understanding for everybody that does me wrong. What do you call it? A catch-22. That's what Sylvia says. You know, I hate that saying, you know, I don't like it. But I can accept it today, and I can accept a lot of things. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous, the program, did for me. And I'm just talking here about myself, not anybody else in this room, man. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it, man. This is what happened to me while I was here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't listen. I had to take the cotton out of my ears and shove it in my mouth and listen. We're all good talkers, but we're not good listeners. And listen to the message, what these people have to say. And today I try to listen to everybody. I like to have eye contact. That way I really know what to, if you're really lying, cheating, or stealing. You know, I can really tell. You can't bullshit a bullshitter, I've been there. It's just that simple. And this is what they told me. You know, there's other things here in Alcoholics Anonymous than just stop drinking. It's a way of life, and it can be a good life. But you have that choice. You have a choice here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is what I found. I found this choice, either to drink or not to drink. Either to admit to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic at 22 years old. To try to clean my act here in Alcoholics Anonymous. To quit being a liar, a sheep, and a thief. And that's what an alcoholic is. If I look at myself in the mirror, that's exactly what I was. I was a liar and a sheep and a thief at 22 years old. But I didn't know any better until I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. These people showed me the way. I grew up in Alcoholics Anonymous. I just thank God that I had a lot of good people with a lot of good sobriety that really worked the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. These people will go to any lengths for you to stay sober. They might not care about you, but they didn't want you drunk, basically. And that's the same way. I do not get along with a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I sure don't wish you to get drunk. You know, I don't have that much hate and that much resentment anymore. I used to have a lot of resentment, and I wanted vengeance. If you hurt me, man, I was going to hurt you right back. I was one of these guys that hurt easy, didn't suffer well. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, man, and I was new in the program, and we were at M Street in Fresno at a meeting. And I went around saying I was a halfway alcoholic. But it was hard for me to admit that I was an alcoholic, fully at 22 years old. So I said, man, I'm a halfway alcoholic. I guess I was halfway to fully thinking I was. So this guy stands up in a meeting and says, man, it's like pregnancy, man. Either you are or not. And if you don't like it, there's a goddamn door at an AA meeting. And then I went with this other guy named Bob, and I said, well, shit, I guess, man, you got to kick some ass here to join this AA. So he walked out the door, and I'm walking right behind him, man. I said, well, let's get it on. You know, I can do that. That was easy for me to do. But it wasn't easy for me to get honest with myself. I had very difficulties, and I had a hard time. But I have a good time today, and it's due to this program. By me getting honest with myself in all areas of my life, not just this little area here in Alcoholics Anonymous. How about at the job? How about with my co-workers? I need more patience and tolerance with my co-workers than I do with you guys. Man, I tell you, those guys are nuts. They don't even drink. Those are the craziest people I ever met in my whole life. And they're not drunk. They get madder than I do. No wonder they haven't been in anger management classes, you know. But me, I had the 10th step of Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to a 10-step meeting for over 5 years because that's how much anger and hate that I had within myself. And I had to do something about it, man. I couldn't live with it, you know. physically, mentally, and spiritually, this is what Alcoholics Anonymous did for me. You know, today I'm better spiritually, I'm better mentally. You know, this God, as I understand me, restored me to sanity. I couldn't do it by myself. You know, and I don't hide behind God. He is there. You know how I pray? I'm going down 99, going to work. I say, God, don't get us into anything you can't get us out of. It's that simple. It's a very simple program for complicated people, and this is what I've seen here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Seeing is believing, and I've seen it. I've seen that a lot of us aren't going to make it either. There's a lot of people that play with Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're dead today, and I've seen it. You know, you can tell, you know, if you don't want to do something, you know, the scouts will do it for you. I've been here 42 years, and I haven't seen somebody that goes back out there and come back and tell me how good it is. I haven't seen that yet. You know, I'm still waiting. But I don't give anybody here an excuse to get drunk. You newcomers, you ain't going to get it off of me. You know, if I can make it, anybody can. And this is what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And if I can give you an excuse for something that you're doing, then I'm blaming myself for something. Then it's okay for me to do it. There's certain things in life that isn't okay for me to do. I gotta watch myself. I gotta sidestep the traps. Anger is my biggest defect of character that I have. So I work on it every day, man. I try not to get so angry. Man, when I get mad, it's like the wind that blows the light out of my mind. I can't think straight. And it happened to me, man. I'm telling you. And it does happen to this day. You know, I've been going through a lot here. Father's Day, I had a home invasion. Somebody broke in my house, stole my TVs, all my stuff, filled up my brand new pickup, Silverado I had in the garage, and took off. Yeah, and he took me back to when I was about 3-4 years sober. And this other friend of mine in Alcoholics Anonymous, Jim Craig was his name, real good friend of mine. We used to go to meetings together, conferences, you name it. We were like brothers. And he had a nice house, and I used to tell him, man, you know, you should get a nice house, Jim. Well, one day they broke in his house, and he took it so good, I couldn't believe it, man. I wanted to get him, hey, let's go get our guns and go after these guys, man. You know, let's go shoot him. He said, Bernard. He said, they must have needed it worse than me. I said, Jim, how can you even think that way? You know what I mean? But today I think like Jim. I guess they needed it worse than me. I just don't get into it. Why get into it? Why have a heart attack over it? It's just a material thing. It's just a car. You know, my sobriety means more to me than that. My peace of mind that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous, I choose not to let anybody ruin my day. You know, that's just the way it is. And Sylvia gets very mad at me sometimes. You know, because, you know, I'm not the reading type, and, you know, I have a hard time reading, and I have a, you know, with education, you know, man, with education just don't get along. And then these engineering people, they bother you to death. Well, tell me this and tell me that. You send me some letters, I don't even know what the hell is a vending number. What's this? What's that? You know, oh, shit. I've been in the DMV all day today. You know. But I can, you know, I can deal with it. I can handle it. I'll just tell them I need help. Just like I did here when I came here in 1972. I lowered my pride, my Mexican pride, and said, hey, I need help. I got a problem. I get into too much trouble every time I drink. You know, I want to fight everybody. Yeah. And it's my way. I get mad very easily. And it's not that way today. I have changed for the good. And it's here for anybody. Man, I live a good life. And it's due to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, at first I had to get honest with myself and admit to myself that I was an alcoholic. Then I had to take the second step. God helped me and restored me to sanity. Then I had to take some more steps, you know, about my defects of character, like anger, hate, resentment. You know, I try not to get resentments now. I don't even talk about resentments. I don't even think about resentments anymore, man, because I got tired of saying I'm sorry. You say sorry enough after you blew it a few times, you stop doing it. Stop what you're doing. You know, we know what we're doing. still cling to that. You know, we don't want to change. We don't want to change that attitude. You know. And that's what happened to me here in Alcoholics Anonymous for the last 42 years. And I still do a lot of hospital and institution work. I go over here to have an all privilege. I'm always involved in Alcoholics Anonymous some way or somehow. It's not my whole life, but it's a big part of it. You know, because I got other things to do. You know, it put me back on the in society, back to work. I got friends that are non-alcoholic. I can get along with anybody today because I want to get along with them. I want to do a lot of things that I never had to do, or I was too prideful to do it. Oh man, that's for other people. It ain't for me. Well, how? What do you mean? Well, I can't do it. That was my biggest one. I can't do it. He said, well, have you ever tried it? I said, no. Well, how in the hell do you know if you can't do it? Right away, I was defeating my own self. I didn't have no self-esteem when I got there. But I knew what the jails and the drug and I knew how to drink and I knew how to go to jail and I knew how to live out in the streets. And living on the street isn't all the answers. Now, that's a hard road to hoe, man. Thank God I'm not living out there today. And I owe it all to Alcoholics Anonymous and the people that were here for me. It's easy for me to say if you're a newcomer, because I hated everybody in this room when I got here 42 years ago. Oh man, I'll just do what you want and cool my troubles down, but I'm going back out there and I'm going to go get trouble. Time and time and time again. Inventory? I used to say, I used to go to Palm and Shaw over there where all the silk cheaters go over there in Fresno. That's, man, I tell you, that's where the people with the degrees go, man. And I said, what am I doing here, man? Oh, I might learn something from all these degree guys out here, you know. And they used to talk about taking an inventory. You got to write that inventory, man. If you don't write it, you're going to get drunk. But man, I must have had 4 years sober, and I said, shit, I haven't wrote an inventory. Hell, I can't even spell. What the hell am I going to do? You know, and this AA speaker came to town called Black Mac. He was a color guy. And he must have had about 25 or 30 years sober. And he said when he got here, he couldn't read or write. Man, I could identify with that. And then after the meeting, I went up to him and I said, hey, Black Mac. Well, I said, how did you work your fourth and fifth step? He said, well, I talked it out. I killed two birds with one stone. And that was another one. There was another guy in this area named Yule from Exeter. He could never read or write. You know how he used to take his tape recorder? Talk it out. And that's what I do, man. I talk it out. If something's bothering me, I talk it out. You know, I had an old sponsor who used to tell me, Bernard, if it's big enough to bother you, it's big enough to talk about. Because we like to hide things. We don't want to tell anybody anything. Our ego is so big that I don't want nobody to know about what's really going on inside of me. You know, so I can keep on lying and cheating and stealing, you know, hiding from everybody. But today I don't hide from nobody. And it's that's the freedom of Alcoholics Anonymous. When you can face up to this thing and be okay and feel good about it. And that's the key. I'm feeling good. I never had a peace of mind that I have today. And I found it here in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's better than drinking. I can honestly say that. Because if it was, then I'll be drunk. If there was something better than Alcoholics Anonymous, you bet we would be there. Because we would find a way to get high. Think about it, man. How many times did you go out, man, I ran out of this shit, I better go find it. You know, and then nowadays, you know, AA changed a little bit. We got a lot of you guys that are drug addicts and alcoholics. And this is how it works. You come to Alcoholics Anonymous, you stay sober, and you don't take no mind-altering drugs, period. You gotta let it go, man. You gotta let them other pills and a little bit of marijuana on the side, and oh man, I used to think, well, I'll go to AA and I'll stop drinking, but I'm going to blow my weed on the side. Always looking for a way to get high. Always. You know? And how can we work on ourselves if we're getting high all the time? And for you young people, you got your whole life ahead of you. Think about it. All you guys that come from this program out there, there's a lot of you, like that Pine Recovery Place and a few others for women. I'll tell you, there got to be something wrong with you because they don't send you over there because you drink too many chocolate shakes. You know, they send you there because you drink too much booze and get loaded all the time. You know, that's why they have them there. That's why you're there. You don't come, we don't wake up one morning and Bernard, I think I'll go to AA, you know. Shit, no. You come over, this is the last place on the block that we can go to recover. And a lot of us still don't want it. But I can't stop that. It's going to be your choice, either to drink or not to drink, or to get loaded. You're sick and tired of jail? Well, stop drinking. You're sick and tired of going to Pine Recovery? Well, stop drinking and using. You're sick and tired of all these women halfway houses? Stop drinking and using. Start doing something for your life. That's what we do here. You know, they read the treasury report. It says we're self-supporting. We keep living off of everybody and everything. I want the easier, softer way. Mama, support me. That's the way it was. Take her money and run. You know, use women. I used everybody I could in order for me to get drunk. But I don't have to do that anymore. I changed. I found a new way to consider an alcoholic in life. It hasn't been easy, but it's the best thing that I found yet. And I'm still changing. You know, life goes on. And I use this program at work. You won't believe. There's a few times I wanted to kill a couple of people down there. But I have to stop and think. Think about what you're doing. We used to have a thing like that around AA, but I guess they don't put it up no more. Nobody wants to think. And alcoholics don't want to do anything but sit down and do nothing. Yeah. I used to have another guy used to tell me, Bernard, go out there and find a job. If you put in 8 hours a day looking for a job, you're going to get one. You know, so don't come over here. An alcoholic with too much time in his hands is dangerous. He begins to think. And when he thinks, he thinks drink. Simple. It's a simple program for a complicated Bernard like me. And I have to put it together. I have to quit being so sensitive and accept life for what it really is. Accept the things I cannot change. You know, it was hard for me to change, you know. And there's a lot of things in life that I can't change either. Look at politics, man. I can't change that. You know, there's always a power greater than myself. You know, I had a hard time with that power greater than myself because I believed in God. When I was in jail, God get me out of this one, and then he used to get me out of that one, and then I was 2 weeks later, I was back in there again. Praise, that was as far as I prayed when I was drinking. But it's a whole different story today. More into really thinking about what my actions are today. You know, I'm living a good life. And this is what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was a broken down man when I got here at 22 years old. Real broken down. This was the last place I could come to. I wasn't going to stay here in Alcoholics Anonymous 42 years ago. Shit. I'll just use these people and move on. But what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't think I could ever find it anywhere. I tried religion, and I tried Catholic Church, and I tried a few other things. But there isn't nothing like Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in Alcoholics Anonymous that I found. Really, give yourself a break. For once in your life, do something for yourself. Give yourself a break. You're very important. You know, today, you know, I look at the human aspect of people, and there's hope here, and we're all human beings. And I try to live with all of you guys, you know, everywhere I go, even out in the streets. I try to practice this program in everywhere I go. I gotta use patience and tolerance, especially on the freeway, man. I cuss everybody out. They think they're gonna fly over that 18-wheeler when I'm on the fast lane. They're not. But this is the way it is. This is the time, you know, and I gotta live with it. I gotta take care of Bernard and be more patient with me, more understanding towards others, and really try to practice his principles in all my affairs. And it's here for anybody. I don't care how old or how young you are. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous will work if you're willing to work. If you're willing to practice the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous into your life, not my life. I got my life going and it's going pretty good. But it's your life. You know, I'm not here to change anybody. And it's not my way or the highway. You know, you find a program that fits for you. And this is what I did for me. So-and-so over here, he might be working a program that fits for him. And who am I to say that he's supposed to work it this way? Well, he's not practicing the book of Alcoholics Anonymous the way it's written. Well, let me tell you, man, there's a lot of things that are written, and I can't see it sometimes. We all have a different way to get there. And this is what I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I see that here in AA, I try to live and let live. It's very important for me to live and let live. Because I don't get into what you're doing. And besides that, it is none of my business to get into what you're doing. But if I sponsor you, then it's a different story. Then I'm really going to get into what you're doing. Because you asked me to be your sponsor. And you go to meetings. You do a lot of awesome in the institution work. You don't drink one day at a time. You practice his principles in all your affairs. You try to be nice and good to other people. Just how would you like to be treated? Would you like to be treated like, you know, like a mad dog would come after you? Or would you like to be treated with kindness and love and understanding? And this is what I try to practice here in Alcoholics Anonymous. These people love me when I couldn't love myself. And I realize that today. But it takes time. You know, I didn't get 42 years overnight. It's been a lot of hurt along the way. When I got my divorce, 20-something, I haven't talked to my daughter for 20 years. And my daughter and my son never saw me drunk a day in their life. So what am I supposed to do? My kids don't talk to me. Wow. You know, she didn't invite me to her wedding or none other activities. Like, we don't have anything in common. But I keep the door open. I know they're my kids. I keep the door open for my daughter, you know. And it's okay. What am I supposed to do? Fall down and cry and feel sorry for myself and get drunk because my daughter doesn't talk to me? I'm not going to do it. This program didn't teach me that. This program taught me to let go, keep the door open, think positive, don't drink, and keep coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and keep staying sober. That's the key. Stay sober, don't use, and things will end up the right way. But if once you drink, man, you have it. Once I drink, I'll never come back. I know that today. So she hasn't talked to me for, you know, 20-some years, and I don't feel sorry for her. And that's just the way it is. I accept the way things are. And I live and accept the way things is today. I got a son. You know, I was paying a lot of spousal support. And I took her mother back to court 7 years ago. My son now is 32. My daughter's 42. So my son calls me up. He tells me, I don't like what you're doing to your mother. I said, okay. I said, and besides that, I told him, what business is it of yours, what me and your mother do? That's our business. Why don't you just stay out of it? So he didn't like it, and I haven't talked to him for over 7 years. What am I supposed to do? Go get drunk? Feel sorry for myself? For him, Tom? For the things I've done? Hey, life goes on in this program. We don't feel sorry for anybody. We keep on going. We keep on staying sober. We keep on with our job. You know, keep going and putting everything, first things first, is for me to stay sober, go to work, try to maintain, self-support myself. You know, that's what I do here. Because Alcoholics Anonymous has showed me the way to do that, to accept the things I cannot change. And one day it might change, and it's okay. I'm willing to accept that too. So these are the things that go on in life. Just like when they broke in my house. Hey, that's life. We got to keep on going and not feel bad about it. Don't get resentful over it, you know. My dad used to beat the shit out of me when I was 5 years old. I used to run away from him because he was a drunk. He was a very violent drunk. What am I going to do? Keep that and say, well, my dad treated me bad. I'm going to stay drunk all the time. and feel sorry for myself. I'm not here to do that. I forgave my father. You know, how can you forgive other people if you can't forgive yourself? And number one was me. Forgive me for all the things that I have done. And that's why I got the ability to forgive my father. My parents did the best they could with what I had. I used to resent me because I didn't have an education. They didn't send me to school and this and that. Well, what part did I play? I finally got honest with myself. What part did I play into all this mess that I'm in? It wasn't my parents that did it to me. I did it to myself. And I realized that today, that half the problems I caused. This little guy in AA said, Bernard, is that reading stuff bothers you? And I said, yeah. He said, well, why don't you go back to school, get night classes, do something about it. Don't just sit here on your ass and do nothing. So I started going to night school, learning how to read a little bit, and that got better. Today I'm retired. I retired from a job that I had for 36 years, and it's due to this program, because this one guy said, you know, go get a job, things will get better. We're self-supporting around here. We don't take money from anybody. We learn how to pay our own rent. This isn't a taxi service company. You want to ride someplace, you can go to work and buy yourself a car. This is the way they told me. This is the answers that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous for me. You know, they forced me to do something, and this is the people that I really care for here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Very spiritual people, man. Jim Gregg was one of them. And that's where I get the spiritual end of this program. Because he really walked the spiritual way of life. He really knew how to forgive other people for their own mistakes and for their own wrongdoing to him. He never fought anybody, but he told you the truth here in Alcoholics Anonymous. If you want to know the truth, I'll let you know. Just ask me. You want to know anything about myself? I'll tell you after the meeting. But if it's too, you know, I don't go out here into the private stuff and talk it at a meeting. But I can talk it to you one-to-one. I'll open up. No problem, because I don't have anything to hide. I quit hiding a long time ago. I quit getting resentment years ago. You know, today I live a good, peaceful life. And that's how I live this peaceful life. Because I work on my resentment and I get rid of them. I turn them over to God as I understand them. I take an inventory of myself before I make any serious decisions in life. My inventory. What am I going to do? Where did I go wrong? There's some times where I get in anger and I want to, and the old Bernard comes up and I take an inventory and I say, well, what's really wrong with you? What's really bothering you? What is it within inside of yourself that you're acting this way? Acting mean and acting like Sylvia says, like a baby, you know. She's always telling me, I said, I know, I'm not perfect. You know, there's just certain things that I do, and I realize that today. I'm honest enough to admit to myself that just because I got 42 years doesn't mean I got it all together, man. I still make mistakes 10% of the time, you know. I'm not perfect, and I realize that. And this is Alcoholics Anonymous as it is. For a broken down Mexican that came from Albuquerque, New Mexico, to what? It's a miracle that I'm still sober today. Really, it is. I should be dead or in some prison or in some nut house for the rest of my life, like it says here, insanity or death. And for you people, man, keep coming back. You newcomers with a day, man. One time I had 35 days and I went to a Bakersfield conference, 35 days. And I saw 10,000 alcoholics, man, they're staying sober. Man, it was a trip. Man. I came home with a big high. I was an AA fanatic, man, for a long time. I was really a two-stepper, you know. I worked the first step and the 12th step, man. And then this guy tells me, Bernard, when are you going to start working on yourself? It's very uncomfortable in between. Yeah, it is. So, you know, eventually we'll work on the steps. Just don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break, man. Do this for yourself. If it can work for me, it'll work for you. Simple. Simple program for complicated people. Yeah. Today I can read a little bit better. I'm retired, got Social Security, and I'm still working. I'll tell you what. In my young days, in the 60s, because I'm from the 60s, man, the hippies, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now that I'm old, it's casino, baby, all the way. So I got this new habit, the palace. So I go out there and I blow my money. But you know what, man? I know myself. I know my limitations. And I found that here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Just because we're sober doesn't mean we can't go out and have fun. That's what life's all about, man. Blow a little bit of money, work for a little bit of, treat yourself good. You know, hey, so what? It's okay today to have fun. Before, we couldn't even have fun. Well, how can we have fun if we're in jail or some program trying to recover, man? You know? But I'm telling you that you can recover and have fun. You can go to Disneyland, man. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how old you are. I love it over there. Isn't it? We can travel and really see what's going on out there, the beauty that... Go to Yosemite, man. All these beautiful things that God made in this world. And look at the good in people. I always used to look at the negative in people. Ah, look at that guy. Yeah, he's full of shit, this and that. Until KB Budd, this old timer, told me, Bernard, I want you to start looking at the good in that person. There's got to be something good in him. Why don't you start looking at that instead of looking at all the wrong things that he's doing? So I started focusing on myself. It's all on me. It's not all on you guys. And thank God that I found the right tools here in Alcoholics Anonymous that works for me. As long as I don't hurt anybody, I'm doing the right thing. And I'm not here to hurt anybody or anything anymore. Because it hurts me. I couldn't live with it. You know, if I hurt somebody or yell at somebody, man, I gotta go make amends. Because I can't live with it. I gotta have that peace. You know, where nobody's bothering me. Man, it's a good place to be. I'm telling you, it works, and it'll work for you. And I want you all to keep coming back, and I appreciate all of you for being here. Thank you very much, because you guys are the ones that are keeping me sober. You know, I honestly believe that God works through you people. I don't care how many halfway houses you come from. There's a lot of good in you. We're all God's children here in Alcoholics Anonymous. God doesn't have any stepchildren. You know, we're all God's children in His eyes. And in my eyes, I see a bunch of beautiful people. 42 years ago, I hated all of you. I hated them. I hated AA. Screw AA. It was Mother F everything when I used to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. Mother F that. Mother F that. They ain't going to tell me shit. I'll knock the shit out of them. Until one guy, this old guy, slammed the book of Alcoholics Anonymous after the meeting and stood up to me and said, come over here, you goddamn kid. Show me where you see those words that you just said here. So when I come to meetings, I try not to use those words. I bet you guys wouldn't use them, and girls wouldn't use them if you were in front of a judge or in church. So why should I put up with it here in Alcoholics Anonymous? We come here to clean up. That's part of cleaning up. Clean our act up. You know, quit acting like we don't have no respect for nobody. And you know what it tells me? Because you don't have no respect for yourself. And I do have respect for myself. And I found it here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I do have respect for the men and women in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's only two kinds of alcoholics. Some people might say, I'm a chronic alcoholic, or I'm this kind of alcoholic, I'm that kind of alcoholic. There's only two kinds. Male and female. That's how simple it really is. That's it. And with that, they told me to stop at 5 minutes till, and it's already 8 o'clock, so I went about 3 minutes over. Forgive me, but thank you for being here. And you have a good time.